Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it is so good to see you. So very thankful that you're here. And so I want to begin our time together by just saying thank you. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to this time that we have that's been set aside that we get to study together. I've enjoyed and appreciated so much already praying together and singing together. And now we look forward to spending a little bit of time together with God's Word open. And so I hope our hearts and minds reflect the love that we have for Almighty God and the reverence that we show for His revealed will. And so we're going to think for a few minutes together about God's plan of salvation as we've been doing over the last several weeks. We're very thankful that you're here. If you're visiting with us today in order to celebrate with and to pay honor to a graduate, we're thankful that you're with us today. We are so thankful for our young people. We have been blessed for many, many years now for families that are concerned about bringing up their children and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so today is one of those special days where we will congratulate a few young people as they complete one portion of their journey and begin a whole new endeavor. So we're excited about that and thankful for them. As we study together today, you know, over the last several weeks, what we've been doing is talking about God's plan of salvation. We have considered in depth, spent a lot of time thinking about what it is that we must hear, thinking about what it is specifically that must be believed, what it means to repent, what that looks like, how significant that is, how serious that is, what confession is all about. We sought to drive home the point that none of these things that we've talked about to this point, believing that Jesus is who He claimed to be, being someone who has a heart that breaks over sin and wants to fix that and go the different direction instead of walking with the world, walking towards Almighty God, walking with Jesus Christ in repentance and in confession, something that we continue to do. We've said that is where we continue to choose to stand with and be devoted to Jesus Christ. All of these things are ideas, they're endeavors, they're actions, they're things that we just keep on doing day after day, week after week. What we'll talk about today is a little bit different. Because this very much has a one-time event, so to speak. A time you can look at a calendar and say, that was the day. Got it circled, got it written. Maybe you got a certificate, and maybe you framed it. I don't know. I've given a lot of certificates out in my day. On this day, in this location, so-and-so was baptized into Christ. If I've given you one of those certificates, if I came and quizzed you right now, would you know where it is? You'd be squirming, because I might come to you after. No, I'm just kidding. I won't ask you. The point is this. There was a day that something happened that was different from all other days. Reminds me of what happened with the children of Israel. Remember, when they came out of Egypt, when they were told by God that He would deliver them, but then He also told them, you're going to remember this day year after year after year. You'll remember the way I so powerfully, so wonderfully brought you out of Egypt, brought you out of slavery into freedom. And He said, as the years go by, your children are going to come to you and ask, and they're going to say, on those, as they keep keeping those Passover nights, they'll say, what makes this night so different? What makes this night so special? And you're to tell them, because God rescued us, because God saved us, because God brought us out of slavery into freedom. And you see, what we're going to talk about today, our baptism today, is very similar to that. That when someone comes to us and says, what makes that day, what makes that event, what makes that time so much different from anything else? What makes that so special? You can say, that was the day I was delivered. Just like the children of Israel could say, that was the day I was delivered. That was the day our people were brought out. You can say, that was the day I was delivered. That was the day I was brought out. That was the day I was born. Very similar in concept. That same idea has filtered down through the years as God keeps bringing His people from a place of slavery into freedom. That keeps happening. So what we're talking about today is baptism, as we've looked at these things before. But here's where I want us to begin. This is where everything should begin. Because what we're going to seek to do today is answer this one little question. Well, what's baptism all about? What's it about? What is it concern? What's it connected to? What's baptism all about? Well, I think the answer has to begin here. Baptism is about Jesus. Consider with me, go to Acts chapter 8. This is where we'll begin. Acts chapter 8. You've read this before, you've studied this before, you've thought about this before, where there's that man from Ethiopia. And he is special in a number of different ways. He's dedicated. He is devout. He's gone all the way from the area of Cush, there below Egypt. He's gone all the way over to Jerusalem to worship, it says. Now he's on his way back home, back to Queen Candace, where he serves as treasurer. He's left Jerusalem after having been there. He's on his way home, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And Philip has been miraculously guided. He's been told by the Spirit, go and meet this man. You're going to meet somebody special in this specific place. He goes, meets him there, hears him reading from Isaiah, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, well, how can I unless someone would teach me? So not only is this man important, he's rich, he's powerful, he's devout, he's been all the way to Jerusalem to worship, but he's also humble. Because here's someone who's in such a position that when someone says to him, hey, do you understand what you're reading? You know how most of us want to react? Of course I do. Get away from me. I know what I'm doing. I can read. I can understand. I've got the answers. Don't you know who I am? I'm powerful. I'm rich. I'm important. You understand what you're reading? I need help. That's where it all begins. We've been singing this morning, all to Jesus I surrender. We've been talking about, singing about together about an attitude that says, I want to just absolutely humble myself before and give myself to Jesus. So it starts with this kind of an attitude that says, teach me, that says, lead me, that says, help me. How can I understand unless someone should lead me, so teach me? So it says that Philip gets into the chariot with him there in Acts 8, and it says, they read from Isaiah 53, about this one who was silent before those who wanted to persecute and hurt. About this one who was going to have his justice taken away from him so that others might benefit. And so he says here, who's he talking about? The Ethiopian eunuch says, who's he talking about? Himself or someone else? And so look at Acts 8, verse 35. Acts 8, 35 says, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. You might have, in a different translation, you might have, he began with this scripture and he preached Jesus to him. Now, here's the next thing. So we know he starts with this image that's in Isaiah 53 of the one who would suffer and be treated shamefully in order to rescue everyone else. That's what Isaiah 53 is about. The man of sorrows who would take on pain for others and heal others. And so it says he started there and began preaching about Jesus. He began telling him about Jesus, began telling him the good news of what it is to know and follow Jesus. And then look at the very next verse, Acts 8, 36. And as they were going along the road, as they continued turn of the chariot wheel by the turn of the wheel, being told about Jesus, going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now here's what I need you to see, because this is not contrived, this is not forced, this is not made up. This is the plain implication, the plain teaching of the passage. It is so clear that if we're going to teach with the faithfulness of Philip, to teach about Jesus is to teach about baptism. To teach about baptism is to teach about Jesus. There's no divorcing one from the other. It says he began in that spot, began telling him about Christ, the good news about Jesus. And it says in short order, as they went along the road, he said, look, here's water. Let's get baptized. The two just go hand in hand. And so that's why I say we begin here. If we're going to talk about baptism, what's it about? It's about Jesus. Now, specifically, let me suggest to you a few different ways that it's about Jesus, if you will. Be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. And in Matthew 3, we'll see Jesus himself being baptized. Matthew 3, beginning at verse 13. Matthew 3:13. Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So he, John, consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. He came up out of that watery grave. He came up out of the water, and notice what happens. The heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And a voice, behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Now I want you to think about what's just happened to Christ here. In that, at his baptism, what happened? At his baptism, he was very openly called the Son of God, right? This is my Son. You know what happens at our baptism? Whenever we are brought up out of that watery grave, we are made children of God. The Bible says in places like John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, ye are all sons of God in faith as you've been baptized into Christ. So look at that parallel. Look at the way this is just so similar in so many ways. Christ comes up out of the water and the Father says, here's my Son. For you and me, when we are brought up out of that watery grave, the Father says, look, there's my Son, there's my daughter. Because of Jesus, we've been given the right, the privilege, the honor, the opportunity, the hope of becoming children of God. Also at his baptism, notice this. What else happens there in Matthew 3? That it says that as he came up out of the water, what does it say? The Holy Spirit came down and rested upon him in a very unusual, very powerful, very visual kind of way. Well, for you and me, at our baptism, the Bible says that God blesses us also with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent, be baptized, be forgiven of your sins, and given the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 5, 32. The Holy Spirit given to those who are obedient to Him. Romans chapter 8. We keep going. We see the same thing. Look at the way that we're so similar to Christ. Comes up out of the watery grave there in Matthew 3, and the Holy Spirit descends. You and I, Acts 2, 38, given these wonderful blessings. You see, if we want to be like Christ, if being like Him and participating in the things that He did is important to us and something we want to connect with, it begins with Jesus. But it's not just about being like Him. Our baptism is also about being with Him. Turn with me in your Bibles. We referenced it, but I want you to really look at it in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. Wouldn't you say that if you love someone, you want to be where they are? You want to go where they go? Well, if we love Jesus, we're going to want to be with Him, immersed in Him, surrounded by Him, as it were. And it says in Galatians 3, verse 26, beginning, look at this. In Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you've been baptized into Christ, it says you have put on Christ. Another way of thinking about it is this. You have been clothed with Christ. You have been enveloped in, wrapped up in Christ. One way to think about it is this. You now get to be where He is. Because these passages, Romans 6, 3 through 5, and Galatians 3, they speak of being baptized into Christ, of putting on Christ, being clothed with Christ. They talk about being where He is. So if you love Jesus, you want to be like Him, you want to be with Him, and then the third thing is this, you're going to want to obey Him. And He said pretty plainly in passages like Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, so if we love Him, we're going to desire to do what He says to do. Christ couldn't have been more plain when He told His disciples there in Matthew 28, what you're going to do is you're going to go and teach. You're going to baptize and you're going to teach. You look at a place like Acts chapter 10, verse 48, when Peter is at the home of Cornelius, and it says in Acts 10, 48 that Peter commanded them. He didn't say, here's something that would be nice to do at some point. He commanded them. in the name of Jesus Christ to be baptized. So here's where we begin. Baptism is all about Jesus. It's about being like Him. It's about being with Him. It's about obeying Him. It's what He did. It's what He commanded. And it's what allows you and me to be with Him. Baptism's about Him. Secondly, baptism is also about submission. Again, talking about surrendering, talking about turning everything over to the Lord. Baptism, I want you to think through this with me for a moment. Think about the actual event, the action of being immersed into the water. This is the ultimate in surrender. When you think about these actions in this ceremony, we are actually admitting we are helpless in every way. When I go through the action of being baptized, I am admitting I'm helpless and I need some other being's help. I can't even take care of this by myself, as it were. I have to have somebody else to administer this. Can't do it alone. It's sort of the idea. It's done to us. Think about the physical action with me for a minute in order to get the spiritual lesson. Physically, by the hands of someone else. It's not a one-to-one illustration, but a couple of my sons are always doing this. They want to stand up on a thing of stairs like this, and they say, "Trust fall." And I'm like, "You're about to fall down if you do that." But the idea is that, you know, they're joking about it, but they're like, "I'm going to fall and you're going to catch me. I'm leaving myself in your hands." When I come to someone and say, "I need to be immersed into Christ," I'm leaving myself in their hands for them to put me under the water and to bring me back up. I have submitted to the physical hands of someone else, but here's why. Because I'm ultimately submitting to the awesome power of God. I put myself in the hands of someone else. Because get the imagery. Because the dead can't bury themselves. You see? The dead can't bury themselves. So what I must do is hear and believe the message of Jesus. I must confess His name and repent of my sins. But then I must surrender to another to allow myself to be buried and raised in the water. So don't misunderstand. There's no power in some individual. I don't have to go and get some special preacher that's got some authority. No, that's ridiculous. It's the image. I'm dead. I can't bury myself. And I want to be united. I'm surrendering. I want to be united in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the image painted in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. If you and I will be buried with Him like He was buried, if you and I will be raised up out of that grave like He was raised from His grave, together we'll walk in newness of life. If I've been united with Him in a death like His, a resurrection like His, I'm united with Him in new life like His. It's about completely surrendering. Have you thought about the way God was trying in so many different ways to get it through our thick minds, our thick hearts, that it's about surrender? I don't understand why so often so many want to say that so many other things are about God, but that baptism, that's man's work. No, this is the place where I completely surrender and say, "God, I'm dead. I need to be raised up. Just like Your Son. The dead can't bury themselves." So, similar to a wedding, this is a ceremony. Remember, a wedding is a situation where people come together. They've been planning for it. They've been looking forward to it. And then on this day, as they come into the room, as they enter the building, as they get themselves made up and ready, they're not married yet. But once they've been through the ceremony, they leave. An event takes place where a pledge is made. "I pledge, not just today, but forever, to be faithful to You." And so it's a day of commitment. Well, that's what baptism's about. It's about submission to the Lord. It's about being completely committed to Him. Our baptism is a time where we are committed now to cease living in sin. It's so much like a wedding where you have one looking at the other and saying, "I commit to you." This is the ceremony where we, in effect, say, Lord, I commit to you. But also on that day, it's not just saying, I commit to you here today, but here in about an hour or maybe in a little bit after that, I'm going to go somewhere else. It's about, I commit to you today and for tomorrow and for the next day and for the next day. I'll be faithful to you today and tomorrow, even when things get hectic, even when things get difficult. Because baptism's all about submission. It's the ceremony in which I pledge to be faithful to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it's also about change. A study of baptism is helpful, and it's actually an appropriate thing to consider around graduation time. Because there's this commencement ceremony, right? Once you have completed all the necessary requirements to graduate, then there's this ceremony. And what happens at the ceremony is that ceremony is marking and celebrating and rejoicing over a change. The graduates have finished one phase of life and they're on to the next. Maybe it's from high school to college or from high school to work or from kindergarten to first grade or whatever it might be. We got thousands of graduations now. But the point is the same in all of them. You've completed this phase and you're on to something brand new. It's about changing. It's about being in a new location. It's about starting a brand new life. If you look with me in Colossians chapter 1, in Colossians 1, the scripture is going to talk about this idea of baptism equaling and being significant for a change in location. Specifically here, it's going to talk about the change of location from being in the world to being in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. So there's the change from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. As he continues to explain, I want you to read with me in chapter 2 at verse 11. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him, raised Jesus, and in effect raises us from the dead. It's about a new location. You've changed from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of Christ. It's about brand new life. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, there was an old life, but you've been washed and in a new life now. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17, the old man has been done away with. A new life has been given by Almighty God. Baptism is all about change. By God's power, we are moved into the kingdom and into a brand new life. And then finally, baptism is about blessings. So many wonderfully, and note this, wonderfully divine gifts and blessings are given by God to His children at baptism. If you look with me in Acts chapter 2, we read from Acts 22 a little bit ago, but read from Acts 2 at this point with me. Acts 2, there's a crowd of people, thousands of people who recognize they're sinners and need to be saved. And they ask, what do we do? And in Acts 2:38, this is the direct and simple answer. Peter said to those who asked what to do next, they said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's be clear, so there's no misunderstandings. This is the line. This is the place. This is the time. I'm not forgiven simply upon hearing about Jesus. I'm not even forgiven simply upon believing in Jesus. I'm not forgiven with my confession. I'm not even forgiven with repentance alone. I am cleansed by the blood of Christ and forgiven of my sins when all of those things are acting in harmony, when they all come together and culminate in my burial and resurrection with Christ. If you look in Acts 22, that Brother Sellers read for us a little bit ago, Acts 22, we have that very same situation. Someone who believes that Jesus has risen from the dead, someone who believes that Jesus is the only way to the Father. And he's told there in Acts 22, 16, why do you wait? Why do you continue to sit? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. Forgiveness is one of the blessings that comes. And in turn, in like fashion, we might say it this way, if you'll be turning with me to 1 Peter 3, salvation. Salvation is a blessing that comes here in this circumstance. Look at 1 Peter 3. Because I think we'd have to work hard to misunderstand. 1 Peter 3, verse 21, baptism, which corresponds to Noah's family being saved through the water on the ark, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt. It's not about your skin being dirty. Not a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, there's that connection to Romans 6. How could that be any clearer? As you go back to the very opening pages of Genesis and you see God creating all things, as you go to the Exodus and see God creating a new people, as you see Him with the children being led by Joshua, as you see again and again and again, when God creates, for whatever reason, in His infinite wisdom, God chose to create using water. Every time, new life always, always, always comes on the other side of water. I don't know why. I guess just to make it easy for us to understand. New life comes on the other side of the water. That's what God has always taught, always done, always shown. Each time He makes something new. And so here He tells us, you want to be saved like Noah, come through the water alive. This is where the line is. It's what gives us hope. Romans 6:5. It's what gives us courage. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, with our bodies washed with pure water. We can be confident He hears our prayers. We can be confident He works on our behalf. We can be confident our sins are forgiven, which means a clear conscience and living without regret, living without fear, not letting the past haunt us anymore, but knowing that as I walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse me from my sin. What a blessing that is. And baptism is about blessings. God pours blessings on His children. And baptism's the occasion that He chose, not that I chose, but that He chose to begin sharing these things. So as we consider it, as we move on to the next phase of our lives, baptism's all about Jesus. It's all about submission. It's all about change. And it's all about blessings. So the question this morning is this: have you submitted to Him? Are you enjoying the blessings that belong to those who have been united with Him in His burial and resurrection? So why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Father.